Long mess me up, y'all. I'm gonna need a second to gather myself. Welcome online. Glad you could tune in. Come see us sometime. I know your couch is comfy. I know it's hot outside, but it's cool in here. Until the fire of God hits you, and then all bets are off. Sorry, you'll be sweating and crying and. Anyway, just come and find out. When the Lord gave me this message, it messed with everything I thought I knew. Surprise. But that's what he does, right? Get you out of your head and into your heart. When Matthew 11:28, when those words of Jesus jumped off the page, he wasn't speaking to my intellect. He wasn't speaking to my ability to process intellectually what he was saying. He spoke directly to my heart. And it doesn't change. As we grow in our relationship with him, he continues to speak to our hearts. That is where the Holy Spirit is seated inside each one of us, in our hearts. So it's from that place that I come to you tonight, from my heart, what the Father has put in me for you. Because he has to do it in us before he can do it through us. So I hope when you leave here tonight, you walk out saying, "Wow, God, that was incredible. I praise your name." Because it's all about him. In Matthew chapter 22, I'm going to start in verse 35. Matthew chapter 22. Verse 35, I am reading out of the New Living Translation tonight. We're going to read 35 through 40. It says, "One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question. 'Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?' And Jesus replied, 'You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments.'" I truly believe with all my heart they are in that order for a very specific reason. Number one, because what I have learned about my Heavenly Father, he doesn't do anything by coincidence or by, "Oh, this just happened to play out that way." Everything is extremely, and I do mean extremely, intentional. And the second, as I've watched his spirit change my very being, I know that my capacity to love other people does not exist if I don't first learn how to love him. Because as I learn to love him, he pours into me. And then once he has poured into me, I am able to share with the people around me. The very first relationship that he began to do that in was my marriage. Very first one. Because I thought I knew how to love my wife. Spoiler alert, I did not at all. I had no clue. And I realized that when I got done, when I had spent so much, thousands of dollars on, she's laughing because she already knows where I'm going, thousands of dollars on jewelry. I had bought her everything I knew to buy. Rings, she doesn't really wear earrings, so I can't. That messes me up. Would you please just wear earrings? She doesn't wear earrings. rings, bracelets, watches, necklaces. I didn't know what else to buy her. And I took on one particular year, it was her birthday, and I gave her a tennis bracelet. This was not a cheap tennis bracelet. Family, I gave this thing to her, and she opened it up, and I was like, here we go, here we go. And she went, thanks. Closed the box, sat it down. I was like, excuse me, please. Thanks. Do you know how much money I just spent on that bracelet? She wasn't worried about that bracelet, church. Because it's easy for me to take some money and just go buy something that's shiny and say, here, this shows how much I love you, right? And then when she needs to talk to me, I don't have time to talk to you, sorry. I have things that I need to do. I have things that I'm working on. Or, hey, can I talk to you about this because I really think this needs to change? No, I think you're wrong and I'm right. How much really do I love her if that's how I'm approaching her? I have told my kids this as long as I can remember. I can say to my wife, I love you. And it probably sounds like I love her. But if I look at her and I say, I love you. That sounded really nice, didn't it? Or, I love you. It's the same three words all three times. It's the heart behind it that gives it power. It's the heart behind what we're doing that makes everything worth time, worthwhile. Because we can go through and check boxes all day long. It doesn't matter. If your heart's not in it, how many times have you heard it preached in this church? Through an offering message, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Because if you're cheerful, if you wake up and you cannot wait to get to church, you have a whole different countenance about you. When it's time to give, you're not stressed out about anything else. It's like, yes, it's time for me to give. And it doesn't have to just be money. It could be, yes, it's time for me to go to church and fix the coffee, to greet people, to get cleaned up, to do the children's ministry. Whatever it is. How about if you're not serving in any of those areas? Yes, I get to go to church this morning and praise the living God who's changed my entire life. I get to, when we get together, it's a party. It's not a chore. It is a privilege. To gather together as God's children, one big family, and talk about His goodness. Sing about His loving kindness, His mercies. That's what gives us an opening to receive everything that He has when our hearts are open for what He wants to pour into us. But see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they didn't get that. They didn't understand it. So how do we love God? If that is the first, and that's really where we're going to dig in tonight. Love the Lord your God. How do we do that? What is the starting block? What is the starting line? Where is A, number one, whatever you want to call it. Where do I start from? What's the most important relationship in your life? And I want you to stop. I'm not, don't just give the good Christian answer. My relationship with God. Okay, I know. Naturally. What's the most important relationship in your life? If you are married, it's your spouse. If you said your kids, we'll pray for you. Because kids don't come first. Sorry. And if I just stepped on somebody's toes, They'll stop hurting in a minute. Because the truth is the truth. It does not change based on how we feel about it. So this is my wife. This is the most important relationship naturally in my life. Spiritually, it's the second most important because the first is my relationship with my Heavenly Father. But I don't know how to love her if I don't have that. So that does have to come first. But this, naturally, the most important relationship in my life is my relationship with my wife. If I don't spend any time with her, what do you think that relationship's going to start to look like? If we go through the motions, okay? If I just get up in the morning, 4:15, the alarm goes off, I get up, I go downstairs, I fix my lunch, I start a pot of coffee, I fix my breakfast, sit down, read, study, do those things around 5:30, 5:45-ish, I'm out the door. I go to work. I come home anywhere from 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock, depending. Throw a dart at the board of things that we have to do, okay? There's a lot of stuff on that, and it's all good. Sometimes it's come here. Sometimes it's chores around the house. It's any number of things. I just go through that. Any of those things. We have dinner. We clean up. Do whatever for a little while. Go to bed. Over and over. 7 days a week. That's what we do. That's what we do. But I come to church on Sunday, right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Sing the songs. Read the scriptures. But I don't invest any time with my wife to sit down and talk, to have a conversation. Eventually, good, bad, or indifferent, our relationship is going to start to drift. It's going to. Not because I want it to. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. Scripture says that God will bless whatever I put my hand to. I need to have a job. I need to provide for my family. I have to do that. I go to church. I do all these things. I go to Bible study, right? I provide for my family, put food on the table. If Braden doesn't get to the grass, I cut the grass. Whatever needs to be done, I will do it. It doesn't matter how good all the other stuff is that I'm doing. Yes, she wants me to provide. Yes, she wants me to do those things. But our relationship needs attention. I have to be willing to say, hey, who cares what needs to be done? Who cares? All the things that have to happen, we just need to take some time and talk. It doesn't have to be fancy. I don't think it's wrong to go out on dates as husband and wife and do those things. It's not. It doesn't always have to be that, though. When you have kids, you learn very fast. You learn how to have moments inside all the other madness going on. And yes, you set aside time to go get away. You have to do that, even if it's just for a night. Now take that, and can we sit back and ask ourselves, do I show that same dedication in my relationship with my Heavenly Father? Do I do that? Do I take time to say, Dad, regardless of what it is that's going on, I just want to hear your voice. I'm going to set everything else aside to hear your voice. What do you have to say? Now, how many, if we're being honest, spend time to talk to God and it's, Lord, thank you for today. Man, I'm so grateful. I'm thankful because I try to practice being grateful. And it's, Lord, I just ask, would you please just, you know, keep your hand upon this area and watch over my family and do this and do that. Okay, God, you got my to-do list. Great, love you. I got to go. How many times do I go to him? I'm not pointing a finger at anybody. How many times do I go to him and say, I don't have anything that I need except your presence? That's it. I just want your presence, nothing else. I'm not here with a laundry list of things I'm asking for. except for you to meet me in this spot. Anybody who has ever raised a child knows that as they start to get older, they want to branch out and do stuff without you. So when your child wants to spend time with you, man, that's a good thing. That makes you feel good when your child just wants to spend time. Guess what? It warms God's heart when you want to spend time with Him. Because He's a jealous God. He tells us that. He wants our attention. He longs for our attention more than we realize. So I want you to think about this. If we are to love Him well, we need to spend time with Him. We need to cultivate our hearts. Because if we just go through motions and we just do what we're supposed to do, we get that hard heart inevitably that Pastor was talking about this morning. You will get it, I promise. It may take a little time, it may take a long time. But eventually your heart will harden. And once your heart hardens, your conscience is teetering on very dangerous ground. Because when we have everything that is in this book, when we read it, doesn't matter how much of this I read. I could read 10 chapters a day. And when I get to the end, start all the way over in Genesis 1:1 and keep on reading it over and over again. If I don't have the love of God, the heart of God pouring into my life, that book is going to become as rigid as a piece of half-inch steel. And inevitably, I'm going to take that rigidness and start hurting everybody around me. That's really, in studying this out, the Lord revealed to me, that's where the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that's where they were coming from. They knew the law. They knew it forwards and backwards. Inside and out, they knew the law. But they lacked mercy. They lacked love and compassion. Why? Because they were so worried about just doing what they were supposed to do that they missed the entire point of the law. It was to expose the power of sin and point to our need for a Savior. That's what it was meant to do. But instead, it became this moral standard for them to walk by and put burdens on the people that they were supposed to be leading. And it can very easily become the same thing in our lives today, 2,000 years later. But we have something that they don't have. We have Jesus on the inside of us, which I praise God for. So how do we stay in that place? We cultivate our hearts. So if I go out in my yard and I take a tiller and I work up the ground and I'm going to plant a garden, right? So I work up all that ground. Why do I work that up if I want to plant a garden? Why don't I just put the seeds in the ground? Why don't I just plant the plants? Why would I work all that ground up? Because there's grass and weeds and all kinds of stuff growing there that I don't want. So I get rid of it. And I get it all, the dirt's all fluffed up and it's soft and it's nice and it's been aerated. Now it's ready, you go through, you plant all the plants. Okay, now I got all my plants in the ground. They start growing, it's raining, the plants are growing good. But I decide, you know, the plants are in the ground, I did my part. I worked up the ground, I planted plants, now it's just time for me to harvest, right? I don't need to do anything else. All done. What happens if I ignore that garden? You can answer. It doesn't. Weeds. All that grass, all that stuff that I worked up and got out of there is going to come back. And what happens when it comes back? Now it's starting to take all the moisture and all the nutrients out of the soil for itself. And then the weeds and the grasses, they get taller, they get stronger. And then eventually they start to choke out the plants that I planted. Why? Because I quit paying attention to my garden. If I want that thing to do what it needs to do, I need to go out there. Now, some of you guys plant everything wide enough that you can take your tiller down through. I like to do things the hard way. So I have to go out there with a hoe and hoe the garden to get all the weeds up. Throw them out. Hoe it all up. Throw them out. It takes time, I know. Hey, you would think growing up on a farm I'd know better, but hey, some of us are just, anyway. Yeah, we'll just go with that. But the point being, if I just ignore it, I'm not going to get... Can all those plants that I planted, can they still produce? Yes. Will they produce? Some of them. But not like they're supposed to. Not like they could. Because they're not getting everything that they need. And it's my job to continue to keep that ground turned over, to keep the weeds and the grass and all that out. Guess what, church? Our hearts are the same way. We have to continue to cultivate the ground of our hearts, to keep it soft, to keep it fresh, so the Lord can do what He wants to do. So when I spend time with Him in His presence and He takes some little revelation and He plants it down in the soil of my heart, I'm able to receive it and go, wow, I never saw it like that before. Rest assured, if in my walk things start to get really stale and things aren't where they need to be, it ain't God's fault. It's not. Accountability is a huge thing. It took me a long time to grab a hold of that. And just because you come to Christ and you give your life to Him does not mean all you got to do is show up and sit in a church pew on Sunday mornings or Sunday evenings. There's work to do. There is work to be done. And we have to be willing to do it. Proverbs 4:23. I don't have enough bookmarkers for all these scriptures. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So if I spend a lot of time on social media, right, and I start taking in a whole bunch of stuff that is not true. I'm not saying I'm out looking for lies. I'm not saying that I'm looking at a whole bunch of terrible stuff. It could be inherently things that are very... The news, okay? The news is reported. The news is not rated R. It's the news. I have an opinion about it. We'll leave that out because my opinion doesn't amount to much. But it's the news. So if all I do is read the news, read reports, do all this, eventually I'm going to start getting into anxiousness and fear and worry. Maybe it goes way off and I get over into depression. Well, now I'm taking things into my heart that ought not to be there. I have to guard it. Because if all that is cluttering up in here and in here, when I do take the time to sit before my Father, I'm going to be begging for Him to explain why all this is happening. Why is this? He's got things for us to do. We all have a job. Every single person sitting in here, there is a plan for your life. God has work for each and every one of us to do. I can't tell you what your job is. It's not my job to tell you what your job is. It is our job to preach this word as ministers to all creation. Preach the gospel. Yes. Some of us are called to minister in this fashion. But it's still not our job to tell you what your job is. It is our job to guide you, to lead you into good pasture, to feed on the Word of God so that you can apply it to your life, see growth, see change, learn how to spend time, hear the voice of your Heavenly Father so He can tell you what it is He has for you to do. Because they're His plans for your life. They're not my plans for your life. I'm busy working on staying in the place of listening to Him for what He wants me to do. I don't have time to hear everybody else's plans. And you wouldn't want me to know your plans. It would be bad. It would be all bad. But we have to intentionally seek His presence, seek His face. And as we do that, we'll find that we set ourselves up for Him to also work on our hearts and change things. Change how we think. Change how we perceive things. Change how we see the people around us. And that is crucial, to allow Him to determine how we see the people around us. Because it is not hard in this day and age. It was talked about this morning, what happened to a presidential candidate. And it's very easy in those moments to have hate in your heart for the people that are doing that. But it's not going to do me any good. Because if I allow hate to take root in my heart, I'm acting like the very one who's behind what happened. And now I'm not acting like my Heavenly Father. Why? Because I've got a whole bunch of junk in my heart. And it's affecting how I think, how I see, how I live. And you'll become hard-hearted towards everyone around you. Everyone. To where you won't want to. How are we supposed to go into all creation and preach the gospel if we have a problem with everybody around us? I'm not talking to you. I'm like, you got yourself in that mess. It's your problem, not my problem. Idiot. Did God talk to me like that? Nope, sure didn't. He was just waiting for me to say, I need your help. And He was there. He had been there the whole time. Now that's what He wants us to do, to be there, to take that word. What's one of the ways that we can guard our hearts? Paul talks about that in Philippians chapter 4. Everything tonight is going to be in the New Living Translation. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything. This is a very popular scripture. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Why do I need to do any of that? Why is that important? Because then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. If we want to guard our hearts, there you go. Don't get worked up over stuff. Don't get anxious about stuff. Don't get afraid of anything. Go to God. He wants you to. There is nothing too little or too big for God to handle. If it is an issue to you, it becomes an issue to God. Why? Because if that issue is not taken care of, eventually what it's going to do is it's going to hinder your ability to come to Him. So if it is an issue to you, it's an issue to Him. Every single time. See, all this, why is this such the strong point? Why do we keep just hammer, 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 hammer? Because we can take all the other things that we know we're supposed to do, but if our hearts do not remain cultivated and open to what God has, the other parts aren't going to matter. They're not. You can do them until you run yourself into the ground, until you're exhausted and don't have any energy left. If the heart is not open to God and His voice and what He has for you, none of the other stuff matters. Ask the Pharisees. Ask the Sadducees how it worked out for them. Brood of vipers is what Jesus called them. At one point, he actually said to them, you travel across the world to make one convert, and in doing so, make him into twice the son of hell that you are. Yeah, that's a heavy one. But that's what he said. Why? Because they weren't worried about mercy. They weren't worried about what was best for the people. There was no love and compassion. It was only the law. That's it. The law. To the point to where they would even take tradition and preach it as God's commands. They were steeped in this stuff. They were steeped in the Torah. They had all the scriptures. Where were they when Christ was born? Went right past them. You would think, if the ones that had the scriptures, if anybody was going to be there, anybody was going to catch it, it would have been them. But they didn't. Missed it by that much. Let's go to the Gospel of John. Chapter 14, verse 21. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them. And I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. I want to go back to that very first part. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. 4 years. Can I just be completely transparent with you right now? Good, thank you. 4 years, I strived to do everything the way I thought I was supposed to do it. Because I thought if I didn't do it, that meant I didn't love God. It meant I didn't love Jesus. Because of that verse right there. Because he said, if I love him, I will keep his commands. Right? So obviously, if I'm not keeping them, I must not love him. So I would strive to do everything in my power. And it seemed like the harder I strived, the more bitter I became. I'm supposed to be a Christian. Why am I getting an attitude problem with everybody around me? Why? I mean, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. Because I missed it. It's out of the love that I have for him. The love that I have for him, that he poured into my heart when I said, Dad, come and help. I need your help. He flooded me with his love. That love hasn't gone anywhere. I was just ignoring it. Started in the spirit and began to try to carry it out in my flesh. It's out of the love that I have for him, I need to allow that river to flow. And the good things all of a sudden just start to happen. All of a sudden, I'm not even trying to accomplish them. They're just happening. And it happened when I walked into the doors of New Freedom Church. That's when it started. I didn't walk in and it didn't just magically go, yeah. No. But I began to hear the Spirit of the living God louder and louder and louder and to the point where I realized, my God. And I find myself back in that place of repenting. And that's a good place to be, church. Repentance is a gift. Let me tell you. God, forgive me for striving, for trying to do everything on my own. I love you. And I took my attention, nothing personal, off of everything out here. I love you guys. But I pulled my attention off of you guys and went this way. That way. God, what do you say? What do you say about my life? What do you say about me? What do you say about how I should love the people around me? How do you want me to love them? I want you to love them the way I love them. I don't know what that means. That must mean it's time to stay on my face. God, show me how to love them the way you love them. See, now we're getting somewhere. Sometimes you don't need the right answer. You just need to ask the right question. We just want the answer. God, just tell me exactly what to do and I'll do it. Now, I got to get this character changed around in here. Otherwise, I got to keep that heart cultivated. Otherwise, when he takes that seed, that answer, and tries to place it on there, guess what? If my heart is hard, it's just going to roll off. I've been trying to tell you. When the pastor comes in and preaches a powerful sermon on Sunday morning, I'm going to sit in the back with my arms crossed with an attitude problem going, he don't know what he's talking about. Oh, really? And we laugh, but it's the truth. Do you know, and I'm not going to uncover any names, but I will tell you something. The first time I realized doing what God tells you to do, you better get ready. Because people will take swings at you for days. I literally did something that God told me to do and had another believer call me on the phone just to tell me that I was deplorable. True story. Was angry at me and said, actually, I think what you did is deplorable. I was like, okay. Gotcha. Dang. I was just trying to be nice. But can I honestly tell you, that was the first time in my life somebody took a cheap shot and it did not even faze me. It was like, okay. And the Lord, it was the Holy Spirit. I promise you, it was the Holy Spirit that kept my composure. And the person actually said, thank you for allowing me to speak. And I said, that's no problem, but just know, if God told me to do it again, I would do it again. Because I'm going to do what He says to do, not what somebody else tells me to do. And I don't care if you hate my guts. I didn't say that part. That part got left out. But I don't care. I don't care. And I don't say that arrogantly. But I'm learning to cultivate my heart in such a way that I really could give a rip what anybody says or thinks about me anymore. I don't care. You sure do spend a lot of time in church. Yeah, I know. Because when I didn't, I was not a nice person. Ask my wife. We've been together for 25 years? 6 years? 4? 3? I'm just joking. It's just a joke. It is just a joke. We've been together for 25 years. It's just a joke. See, judgment. You guys, we're going to have prayer after this. See, you need to be here. Because this is good stuff. 140 Sally's Delight Farm Lane. Get your butt in the chair. It's good stuff. I don't even know how you come back from that. I honestly don't. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what anybody says. Who cares? But what it also does, when you keep your heart cultivated, you have the ability to hear whatever it is anybody who is bringing the Word of God has to say. Even if it is hard to hear. Even if it is correction. Guess what? I need correction. All of us need correction. But if my heart is hard, I'm never going to receive it. I'm going to get an attitude problem when somebody tries to correct me, and I'm going to walk out of the door, and then I'm going to scream, church hurt. True story. The church is the only place I understand that this is a place where we come to love on each other and to be a unified family of God, the body of Christ. I understand that. But church is the only place I have ever seen where people will get their drawers in a bunch and run out the door and cry church hurt, but you'll go back to the same job over and over again when people treat you like crap. You'll go back to the same bar over and over again, even though you wake up the next morning with your head thumping and your guts all in knots. Keep right on going back. But walk in the door of a church and somebody say something you don't like, I'm hurt, shut up. Now, if somebody was genuinely a jerk, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But if somebody brings a word of correction, receive it. Nobody ever, again, I keep going back to parents, sorry. Pastor David said today, you preach from what you know. Okay, as a parent, if I just give my kids everything that they want, whenever they ask, they're going to be brats. They're going to need correction. They're going to. When you do something wrong, I'm going to correct you. We'll peel back the curtain a little bit. When Ashlyn was just little, she was like 2 years old. Look, everybody in the first two rows just went, oh God, he's going to tell the story. Yes, I'm going to tell the story. When my daughter was like two, she got on this kick where she liked to hit. And I came home one night, and I sat down, and I leaned in, and she just went, boom. And I mean, pow, stung me right in the mouth. Before I could think, I was like, bip. And I just, open hit, just fingertip. I cracked her right there. You could have heard the entire, you could literally hear the wind suck out of the living room. My mother-in-law, my wife, everybody went, what? You don't hit a kid. Yes, you do. Guess how many times Ashlyn hit after that? Zero. I did not punch my daughter. I didn't punt the kid. It was just a quick little, and she never did it again. Correction. But if I just allow her to do that, pow, it's okay. She's just a kid. It's okay. Little Ashlyn is going to go to preschool, and somebody's going to get a black eye. And then somebody's going to get a phone call and have to go get his daughter because I didn't correct the problem in the first place. Now the problem that I refused to nip in the bud has become somebody else's problem. When I don't allow God to speak into my heart and deal with the problems that are in there because I'm human and they're going to be there, just have to be willing to say there's stuff that needs to be worked out. If I don't deal with it, guess what? It now becomes all your problems. Isn't that fun? But it is the truth. That's what happens. We have to be willing to accept the fact that, guess what? We don't know everything. God does. Whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not, He knows exactly what I need to live the life that is in front of me. You know why? Because the only reason I have that life is because He gave it to me. So if He gave it to me, and He's orchestrated everything to this point, that means He knows exactly how to get me where He wants me to go. So I need to stop and say, God, I'm sorry. I humble myself. If my people You want to know what's behind this nation being where it is? Arrogance, rebellion, haughtiness. I love America. This nation was born running from a king. It's a lead balloon. But it was. We have to be willing to humble ourselves before the king. Not a king, the king. And say, Father, whatever it is you have, good, whether I think it's not good, whether I think it's, I know what you have is good, and I need it, and I need all of it. Because I've seen what my life looks like apart from you. Pass. Don't need to go back to that. And when there's words from the enemy that try to drag you back to that place, tell him where to go. Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. There's only one reason I need to think about my past. You know why I think about it now? To give God glory. That's it. Thank you for delivering me from the things that you delivered me from. Thank you that I don't have to deal with the things that I used to deal with. And if I bring it up now, apart from that, it is to share with people the goodness of God. That's what it is. So that maybe that testimony will witness in somebody's spirit, they will hear the word of God spoken, and they'll come alive to God. Anything apart from that concerning my past, hey, you know, you really can't do that, right? You're just a dumb farm boy from Sellersville. Shut up. Could be true. I am just a simple farm boy from Sellersville. Literally, like 3.5 minutes that way as the crow flies is where I grew up. But guess what? God has a lot of good things for me to do. And the reason I want to do them, first and foremost, for Him. Because I want people to know how good He is. And secondly, if I don't carry out what I am told to carry out by Him, my family could possibly miss out on stuff. Because I'm the spiritual head of my house. It's not just me. It's never just about me. It's never just about any one singular. But it has to start with you. And if it hasn't started and you want it to start, guess what? You're in the perfect place for it to start. Open your heart right here, right now, in this place, and just say, God, whatever you have, I want it. I want all of it. If you're sitting on your couch at home, lift up your hands. God, whatever it is you have, I want it. All of it. And just receive it. Take all your baggage, all your junk, and say, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I want what you have. It's called humbling yourself. If my people who are called by my name, His name, not mine, I wasn't pointing to me, sorry, will humble themselves and seek my face and pray, I will hear from heaven. And I will heal their land. Maybe you have some land that needs to be healed. Starts with humbling yourself. Getting on your face. Choosing to spend time with your Heavenly Father. Work up the ground of your heart. If you don't know how to do it, just get in His presence. God help me. Let Him start. He'll do it for you. He'll get the ball rolling. And then He'll take you by the hand and He will lead you. Because He's a good Father. He doesn't give us anything to do that's impossible. Nothing. Nothing is impossible for God. And He lives in us. So by default, guess what? Nothing is impossible for us. Nothing. Literally, no thing. Nothing. No thing is impossible. So I don't care what situation you are facing tonight. It's nothing that God can't handle. It's nothing that God can't take care of. He wants to. He wants to show you. Just humble yourself. Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank you for the plans that you have for every single person sitting in this place. And I thank you that as we gather together, as we take time, as we set aside time to intentionally seek your face and receive what you have, I thank you that you pour out a fresh infilling of joy, of peace, and love, of whatever it is each one of your children have need of. You know, God, what each person in this place has need of. I'm a human, I don't know, but you know. So as each one of them sit right now in your presence, I thank you that you touch them, that you fill them. Lord, do a mighty work in their heart and mark them this day that nothing would ever be the same. Nothing would ever be the same. If you are at home, nothing will ever be the same. Just lift your hands to your Heavenly Father. Why would I lift my hands to my Heavenly Father? Because what does a little kid do when they want to be lifted up by mom and dad? They hold their hands up. Mom, dad, pick me up. That's what you're saying. Father, lift me up. I need you. Lift me up. Dad, help me. Help me. Father, each person in this place, a fresh outpouring of your Spirit, Lord. Set their hearts on fire for you. For you, Father. I praise you for what you're doing. I praise you for your faithfulness in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Online, thank you for joining us. We love you. We are praying for you. And we will see you next Sunday. For everybody still here, if there is something that is weighing you down and you don't want to deal with it anymore, if you would like prayer, please feel free to come forward. I will agree with you to get whatever it is out of the way. And we'll watch God do a mighty work. But I truly do believe that you have everything that you have need of, that you got filled to overflowing tonight, that His Word just continues to blossom in your spirit all night, that you wake up tomorrow morning like, wow, God, you're amazing. Thank you. So if you want prayer, please come forward. I am not kicking you out. CJ's going to turn on some videos for us. If you want to stay in worship, stay in worship. I love you guys. I love you.